Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Melissa with Talk with Trinity, a show that is dedicated to the education, enrichment, and enlightenment of all individuals. I'm Melissa A.B. Berry, a licensed clinical addiction specialist. This show is sponsored by Trinity Counseling Services, Charlotte and Burlington, 1801 North Tryon Street, Suite 311B, Charlotte, NC 28206, and 508 Holly Hill Lane, Suite 102E, Burlington, North Carolina, 27215. Phone numbers are 704-333-2446 and 336-675-0075. This morning, February, is National American Heart Month. This month, we have been speaking about counseling and support for individuals and couples. This is in regards to some of the resolutions that individuals made regarding relationships. We just want to thank God right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you just praying for your continued blessings over our lives, over our families. Dear Heavenly Father, if we are traveling, just pray that we travel safe. Dear Heavenly Father, if we pray for our children in the schools, and we pray for our wisdom, knowledge, and instruction for this morning. This week one, we discussed 12 of the most common issues faced by couples. In week two, we read about the top 11 reasons for getting married. And this week, we want to become familiar with substance abuse and intimate relationships. But I wanted to read from... there was an article that someone posted on LinkedIn. It was written by submitted by a John Tab, and it was titled "The New American Way of Life." And it says, "The New American Way of Life, get on board." For a guy and his girlfriend with two kids, all you have to do is follow these proven steps. Number one, don't marry her. Number two, always use your mom's address to get your mail. Number three, the guy buys a house. Number four, the guy rents out house to his girlfriend with his two kids. Number five, section eight, we'll pay $900 a month for a three-bedroom home. Number six, girlfriend signs up for Obamacare, so guy doesn't have to pay for family insurance. Number seven, girlfriend gets to go to college for free, being a single mother. Number eight, girlfriend gets $600 a month for food stamps. Number nine, girlfriend gets a free cell phone. Number 10, girlfriend gets free utilities. Number 11, guy moves into home but continues to use his mom's address for his mail. Number 12, girlfriend claims one kid and guy claims the other kid on their tax forms. Now both get to claim head of household at $1,800 credit. Number 13, girlfriend gets $1,800 a month disability for being crazy or having a bad back and never has to work again. And it says this plan is perfectly legal and is being executed now by millions of people. A married couple with a stay-at-home mom yields $0. An unmarried couple with stay-at-home mom nets $21,600 disability, $10,800 free housing, $6,000 free Obamacare plus $6,000 free food, $4,800 free utilities, $6,000 Pell Grant money to spend, plus $12,000 a year in college tuition free from Pell Grant, plus $8,800 tax benefit for being a single mother, $75,000 a year in benefits. Any idea why the country is $18 trillion plus in debt and half the population is sitting around letting the other half pay their way? They wrote at the end of it, maybe this is a good reason to clean house in Washington 2016. Not so much as concerned about the political parts of that, but it's in the new American way of life to not marry her. Since we're talking about relationships, I thought that was a very interesting post that someone made. And so someone wrote and says, "I'm certain that he doesn't actually know a single person living this way." There was a woman, she said that she regularly works with people receiving stamp housing subsidies and disability benefits, and the programs don't work the way that he's insinuating, nor the benefits what he states. And my response to that is I would be interested in how he came up with this information, and I understand why maybe that he's presenting this as a point, but I don't know that it started out with just what's in Washington right now. And then my statement is I'm familiar with individuals who choose absence from this situation at the expense of the system. My word to that is, like it or not, we can only change the things we can, which is to present the benefit of living life within the rules rather than outside of them, because at the end of it all, these people will face the detriment of their actions. And I wrote more about what that detriment will be, because if this is the case, if they're not married when they die, there'll be no death benefit, there'll be no insurance, there's no pension. If he is a military person, she won't have any access to any Social Security from him, nor will the children. So there will be consequences of living that new American way of life. But back to our topic at hand, as far as relationships and is in the census of 2003, in the state of North Carolina, the number of marriages, 52, and then it went up to 61.1, and then it went up again, 61.6, and 61.1, and I believe that's in the thousands. And so the rate per 1,000 of the population, 7.8 by 2001. But then it also says that, and then the rate of divorce, 34, 37, and then 34, again, at a rate of 5.1 to 4.5 in the thousand in 2001. And we talked about the relationship problems and issues, and those will come up again today. Decision making, living on the sidelines, avoiding confrontation, arriving chronically late, finding problems with everyone, mired in your own perspective, separation anxiety, consumed with self, cutting the cord, sabotaging of success, communicating ineffectively, and avoiding change. When we're talking about substance use in relationships, there's a few things that come up in that. When I get to it, ain't when I have to do that. And then next week we're going to be dealing with the alcoholic family in recovery. Page one. What are the costs? There's a couple in which a partner abuses drugs and alcohol because they're very unhappy. The partner is often more unhappy than couples who don't have problems with alcohol or other drugs. So unhappiness is one of the issues that come up in substance abuse in relationships. And as the drinking and drug use gets worse, then it begins to take more and more time away from the couple, creating emotional distance. Then there's fighting. The fighting itself can create an environment, a situation in which the partner with the drinking and drug problem uses these substances to reduce the stress and the tension. And then the main reason it starts a cycle in which substance use causes conflict. The conflict leads to more substance use as a way of reducing tension. Thinking about the substance use escalates, more drinking and drug use occurs, and so on. And when our group, when we're talking, of course, someone stated that if you're working with individuals with substance use disorders, then family automatically should be the issue. And when we're working in substance abuse groups, drug education groups, the one thing that comes up is the pattern of behavior that is created by the youth. We use the Jelinek model, we mentioned that before, where a social problem, crucial and chronic, are the four stages that you go through. You start off by drinking to alleviate discomfort that states. In the group, we shared about what is that discomfort. And we incorporate Maslow's hierarchy of needs in that discussion with the statement that some people are uncomfortable just surviving. And in order to survive within their group, they begin to experiment with drugs and or alcohol. And if there's any history of that in the family, that creates where there may be genetics, and that may start a cycle that is already within the family just through the genetic makeup of the individual. And then they start and alleviates their situation or their discomfort in being a part of a group or feeling secure in their peers. Oftentimes they share that peer pressure causes them to want to drink, then drink more, which then creates another pattern of drinking, which then it starts with tolerance. Begin to drink more, and when you begin to drink more, then you begin to take more risk in relationships. And there, when you get to the problem stage of the Jelinek model, that was a word, and I ended up having to look it up, and it was basically repetition. And I didn't understand it. It looked like it's something that you repeat over and over again. And once we looked it up, what it is when you begin to sneak and hide and do different things and not believe that individuals are recognizing what you're doing. And if a person started doing that, say, with their family, and their family doesn't know that they drink to excess, and when they go to their friends, they believe that if they're going to their friends to hang out, and then they're at their friends' houses, and they're drinking, and they're hiding it, or they're bringing it back, and the family never knows about it, then that creates a pattern of behavior as well, which is lying, because if they're confronted, then, and they say, well, no, and then quite naturally, if the parents don't know that to be true, then that starts another pattern of behavior, and then it continues, the cycle continues from that point, because now that they've gotten away with it, now that they've created a tolerance, now that they've slightly become dependent, they're in the problem stage of it, they begin to have physical effects of the drugs and the alcohol. They've affected their mental ability to think and make good decision-making, which goes back to the problems that you see in relationships, the problems that you see when you're drinking. If you start drinking early, then you may have some difficulties in making those decisions because you may not be mentally capable of doing that, or you're thinking still as a teenager or whatever they say about that. And then the living on the sidelines, all of those relationship issues that are faced by couples are created from earlier youth. And then when you get into the more serious stages, the crucial stage, this is when more than likely the individual has grown up, hasn't really had too many problems, say, in employment or too many problems in education, or have made some decisions, and now they may be of age, may have greater opportunities to drink. But now they've entered into a stage where individuals around them are looking to them to settle down, which then is the 11 reasons, top reasons for getting married. We looked at the more positive ones, but there sometimes people get married for other reasons, get out of the home, get out of their situation, make their situation better. And so the foundation of the marriage may be already at a detriment when they start off. And then if you're adding on top of all of that, the drinking and the drugs, then that creates a problem. And so you have a pattern of behavior that is seen with the use of alcohol and drugs, and then there's a pattern of behavior that is seen with in relationships, and then those things parallel. So it says, how do you know that drinking or drug use is harming a relationship? And there is a list, and I posted this on to trinitycounselingcharlotte.com. The outline of this conversation that we're having under Blog Talk Radio, TrinityCounselingCharlotte.com. But it says that the following are some of the most common danger signals often seen in couples in which a partner has a substance use problem. Many arguments about drinking or drug use or things related to drinking or drug use, such as money problems, staying out late, not taking care of responsibilities in the home, and so forth. So when you're talking about the pattern of behavior as far as drugs and alcohol and the Jelinek model and the progression of the disease of addiction to alcoholism, one of the aspects of the problem stage and one of the aspects of the crucial stage, which is becoming more serious, is beginning to have issues in other areas of life, such as in areas of money, in areas of time, in trust, respect, and take care of responsibilities, several of those of which are located within the 11 criteria for substance use disorders. And as an individual progresses, if they meet two or three of the criteria, such as tolerance and unable to cut back or stop, and then when it progresses on down, four or five of them where you're not managing responsibilities or failing or just giving up altogether, then this is when it is a common danger signal seen in couples as far as substance use, but it's also part of the diagnosis for substance use disorder. And on different occasions, having to cover for a partner who has been drinking or using drugs too much by making excuses, that's an aspect of lying, calling in to the job, telling that the individual is sick, or some ways, or basically, and that's part of the family system where they begin to make excuses for the individual. This has become the enabler for the person that you continue their use. I want to just pause a moment again. This show is sponsored by Trinity Counseling Services, Charlotte and Burlington, 1801 North Tryon Street, 311B, Charlotte, North Carolina, 2206, and 508 Holly Hill Lane, Suite 102E, Burlington, North Carolina, 27215, phone number 704-333-2446, 336-675-0075. And if anyone has any questions or want to make any comments, again, you can find this information on Trinity Counseling Charlotte.com. You can also email me at melissatrinitycounseling@gmail.com. Again, if you're an individual that does provide counseling services, I'm simply giving an outline of the expectations and making the suggestions that to seek the help if you are in a relationship and you're having a difficulty. Of course, as we're talking about the progression of the drugs and the alcohol, then that may be the first step is to try to get the individual into some education or treatment or at least an acknowledgement of their issues. There's some facilities we're building that allow you to come in and do a 30-minute screening. Trinity Counseling Services will do a free screening. It should be a matter of about 15, 20 minutes of completion of a questionnaire. Kind of gives us an indication of the extent of the individual's use. We pray that the individual is trustworthy of us, believing in us, and we have the true desire to help and to be honest with the information so that we can provide them with the necessary resources. And again, if you have a facility, if you're listening or familiar with anyone that does provide us as a service, we welcome you to give us a call and give us your information so that we can pass it along. The next one is a partner reporting that he or she drinks or uses drugs to reduce tension or stress related to arguments and fights in the home about alcohol and other drugs, stress management, anxiety. There are other issues that are coupled with how this comes into play, and we do try to give ways of relieving stress or helping people to understand where the stress comes from and ways to better deal with it and to help to reduce the tension. You have medication. Medication also, you can maybe call the doctor and let them know, you know, if you have a certain pattern, and it may be other mental illness or other mental health disorders. It may be the individual may have had underdiagnosed anxiety, undiagnosed depression or other matters that may be causing the difficulties in the relationship. And then you have drinking and drug use is the only or one of the few things the partners like to do together. If you have the person, Sugarfoot, person, if you, that's how you started, and you may find that you all only relate on that matter, then one person is going to need to get clean, and then, you know, hopefully the other person will come along with it. Episodes of domestic violence or angry touching by either partner when a partner has been drinking or using drugs. This is another, there are programs such as NOVA. That's a 26-week program where the individual attends, shares in groups, and learns ways to better deal with their anger than being abusive. So there are resources in the community where if that is an issue, that women, because oftentimes women stay in a relationship for fear of not having any place to go or individuals taking care of things for them. But there are resources that can help to get out of that situation. Finding that one or both partners need to be drunk or high to show signs of affection. This may be, again, early youth and has inhibited the ability to have intimacy and show affection without the use of drugs and alcohol. And then it says the relationship or family as a whole becomes isolated from friends and relatives in order to hide the drinking or drug problem, not doing. That is another one of the aspects of the substance use disorders is not participating in leisure activities. It says, although most couples will not show all of these danger signs, because even if one of these is present, it indicates that it may be time for you to take stock in a relationship and think about making it better. Trinity Counseling Services education means mission is education, enrichment, and enlightenment. We do this through substance use programs, substance education. Also, we are capable of providing individual counseling, group counseling, stress management, anger management, and other things that will work on these individuals, both individually and collectively. And it says, can treatment help? And the answer is yes. But there is a process of recovery that takes for some people, it's a short amount of time, just basically not using up the substance. But if there are more embedded issues or more problems that need to be worked on, they need to be worked on, again, individually and together. It also needs to, if it's couples or children, you want to involve with them as well. There's, there are many different treatments that are available. They can reduce or eliminate problems with alcohol and drugs. This may be individual counseling, group counseling, attending of self-help meetings, such as Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, Celebrate Recovery. And it says, once you enter into treatment, a family program is important as well. Because if your partner has a problem with drugs or alcohol, getting them or to enter treatment, they need one of the best things you can do for him. Really, that they have these different programs called like intervention and watching individuals with substance use disorders, and you may have your own opinions about that, or man, I think that's a real thing, or think maybe that's an expensive way to go, or think that, you know, you can talk with your family, or get somebody in the family to talk with a family member. But even in the family system, if you want to allow people to maintain their roles, if it's a mother, and they're not a counselor, if it's a father, and not a counselor, you know, not peer support, you know, but allow professionals to be able to assist and collaborate with the family in order to work on the issue. It says, what if they do not want to go to treatment? And that's fine. They have programs called Al-Anon. That would be helpful for family members if they're dealing with that issue about how they can step back and develop more healthy relationships themselves. My last thing that I wanted to read or share is I have several resources. One is the Serenity Bible. It breaks down the 12 steps. As far as it has, it relates to the New Testament. But I also have Renewed Each Day, which is God's promises for overcoming chemical dependency. And wanted to read Considering Your Role in Dysfunctional Family and scripturally how that works. It says our relationships, particularly our early family relationships, have made us what we are today. In a sense, we actually carry those relationships around with us. My boss at work points out a simple mistake, and I feel deep shame. Is it really a disapproving parent that I feel he is scolding me? I lash out at my children verbally and physically. Can I recall the scene from my childhood when that happened? And it goes on further. It says people who thoroughly survey their relationship history, which is one of the step four assignments that we have shared about on numerous occasions as far as in our discussions. With the survey that you do step forward, you survey your relationships and your behavior in those and how your family has contributed to those. And since you find yourself recognizing when you're falling into old patterns of reaction and behavior that really have little to do with the present circumstance. So since considering your role, since where you're the rescuer, and it gives the scripture from Genesis where Joseph went in and saved his father and his brothers. And then it says, let God be the rescuer. But the rescuer, the enabler, those are the roles of the families, and that is another family discussion that we do discuss in group, and we can discuss individually. This is where you escape, though. That's another role, and that comes from Leviticus, and it just gives the example with, you know, taking the two goats and reading out there, and how it says to let God, let Christ be the sacrifice. So if you find yourself in those roles, were you the mascot? The mascot is the individual that grabs attention. Anytime we do the discussion in group, they always say, you know, anytime that the team is doing poorly, the mascot runs out, does something goofy. Or anytime that the team is winning, the mascot contributes to that celebration. It says, or the lost child, which is another role. And it says, if you were the mascot or the lost child, said, let God be a loving father to both. And it says, you know, son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. That's right. This is when the father, Luke 15:31-32, is the prodigal son. That's the scripture about the prodigal son and how his brother was left behind. And when he got back, he felt like he felt left out. And then it just confirmed that, you know, his brother was dead and he returned. So don't feel basically any kind of resentment. Just kind of be joyful for the return of him to the fold. And with the relationship, so if you recognize that you, you know, then fall into those roles of the family and see how those play out into your current situation, that would be another aspect of counseling that you would want to talk with a counselor about, either individually or just kind of structuring it in group. So with this, February is National American Heart Month. We have been sharing about common relationship issues, the reasons for individuals getting married, and then this week we have shared about how substance use relates to intimate relationships. And on next week, we will be finishing out the month of February with what it means to be in recovery. If you listen to any of our previous programs, you know, it basically always goes the same, that the belief of myself is that individuals must recognize, be educated about the effects, overall effects of substance use. Because it says there's an effect that is felt by children, relatives, friends, and coworkers. There are costs that include the unhappiness that is felt, the time that is taken away, the violence that is occurred. And these things create a pattern. And we want to break that pattern. We want families to be happy, to live healthy lives. And the education, the enrichment part about it, there's a value to healthy families. And once that comes together, it leads into this year with the National Recovery Month in September. It's last year was the individual story. This year is going to be the stories of how families have overcome. Again, my name is Melissa. Talk with Trinity, a show that is dedicated to the education, enrichment, and enlightenment of all individuals. We just want to thank God for the opportunity to gain more wisdom, to have more knowledge, and again, to get instruction about living happy, healthy lives. It is praying to go to the rest of our day that individuals be able to see God in us and continue to show us the way. If you stand with family, we hope everyone has a blessed day. Thank you.